The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
There's such a wonderful promise of God. And it basically says that for your former shame, God will give you a twofold recompense. And recompense is another word for reward.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Welcome to Everyday Answers. You know, pain is something that we all have to deal with. But how we choose to deal with it is very important. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. So today, Joyce is going to answer the question, how do I get rid of my pain? First, she's sharing in detail about the pain she endured for years.
The things that I'm going to share with you today, I'm not doing it because I want to, because in fact, I don't. It's very easy now to stand up and say my father sexually abused me, but to tell you the things I'm going to tell you today, some of the details, that's not easy. And I don't do it for me. I don't do it because I need to. But I believe that sexual abuse has become such a word that we accept that that people don't even really get it anymore. It's just like, oh, you know, yeah, you were sexually abused. But I want you to understand more about the pain and the trauma of what that means to help you not only understand yourself, but deal with some of the other people you might be dealing with. My father did many perverted things. And you can believe me today when I tell you that I'm only going to tell you a few. There are some that would be way too distasteful for me to try to talk about in a crowd like this. He made me look through the keyhole and watch him and my mother having sex, and then I was supposed to tell him how it made me feel. If I walked into a room where he was and nobody else was in there, he would grab himself or reveal his private parts, as if that was supposed to excite me. Anytime he had opportunity, he grabbed me in personal places, so I despised even having to go into a room where he was at. And I remember when I was at home, my greatest goal was to stay out of the space he was in. If he would go to the basement or the garage to do some work, he would tell me to wait 5 or 10 minutes and then come where he was at, act as if I was looking for him. And then he would molest me in those situations, touching me and make me touch him. I was continually fearful that my mother would come in the room and catch him and blame me. When he was going to go places in the car, he told me to beg to go with him in front of my mother, and then he would tell me no, and then I was supposed to keep trying to get him to let me go until he finally gave in. And so it's kind of interesting. He had this thing all set up to where it looked like it was me. I, of course, did not really want to go because I knew what was going to happen if I went. But I had to do what I was told. My mother went to the grocery store every Friday morning, and I so desperately wanted to go with her, and he would make me beg to stay home or make an excuse about why I couldn't go. And then while she was gone, he would rape me. When we went swimming, I had to ask him to teach me to swim so he could take me out in the water and put his hands on me. There was no place where I ever felt safe when I was growing up. He wanted me to bring girls home from school so he could try to do things to them. I managed to make excuses for all the girls at school, but he did abuse the girl that lived next door to us a few times. She and I were friends, and I remember my father making me get her into a place where he could be alone with her, and then he'd tell me to go off and wait in another area while he did things to her, and I was so profoundly ashamed and embarrassed. I was ashamed of me. I was ashamed of my parents. I was ashamed of what they did. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I understood the problem of shame. And when you're ashamed of who you are, how that poisons all your thoughts and your actions. And I'm so grateful that the Word of God says that for your former shame, I will give you a double reward. I will give you a twofold recompense. I remember my father being very mean to my mother. Every Saturday night, as long as I can ever remember, my father went out and got drunk. I mean, drunk, drunk, dog drunk, falling down drunk. And when he drank, he got even meaner than normal. And very frequently, he would come home angry and violent if my mother said or did one thing, one little thing that would set him off. He'd hit her and smack her. And there were times when I would find her. I remember one time in particular, I found her in the bathroom floor the next morning, all beat up. And he constantly used filthy language. Still to this day, I cannot stand cursing. I heard so much of that when I was growing up. And I despise it. He didn't physically hit me that much, but he would always threaten. Like, I remember him putting his fist in my face, like every time I would do something he didn't want, that threat was there, you know. And still to this day, I can't stand it if somebody gets their hands too close to my face. You know, it's like, don't do that. He was a controller. Everything had to be his way. He was very demanding. He belittled my mother all the time. The fact that my mother never confronted my father and that she cowered under that treatment. And I hope some people hear this that are putting up with that kind of stuff. It had a profound effect on me. Let me tell you something. Your children learn more by just being around you and seeing how you handle or don't handle things than anything that you try to tell them. The fact that she cowered under his treatment really affected me, and so I grew up despising weakness because I hated the fact that my mother was too weak to deal with him. And so I was determined that I would never be weak. Well, in a way, that was good because that determination helped get me through some of the young years and even some of my early years in ministry when so many people turned against me. We lost friends and family, got asked to leave our church. I mean, being a woman in ministry 30 years ago was not popular. And the women who went before you and paved the way for some of you that are coming up now, you better thank God for some of the stuff that we went through that you don't have to. And so I had to learn in my own personal life that we all do have weaknesses, including me, and that I couldn't hate myself because of them, and that I had to trust God with some of them, do my best to overcome, let his strength flow through them. But another thing that became a real problem for me was I just really had a problem with weak people. I mean, I could not handle whiners and people who said, I can't, and it's too hard, and I am just like, get away from me. Do not tell me what hard is because you don't know what hard is. But there are people in the world that are just built by God in such a way that they can handle a lot more than other people. And thank God I happen to be one of those people. And there are other people that can't handle that much. And here again, we need to respect people for the way they are. And if people are doing their best, then we should never put them down. And for whatever reason, I do believe that my mother was doing what she knew to do. In those days, nobody heard of abuse. Nobody talked about sexual abuse. There were no Oprahs on television. There was no programs on television making it plain what abuse did to people. Nobody talked about it. Nobody talked about it. Back then, people didn't, they rarely even heard of anybody getting a divorce. And so, it was 30 years after all this happened before my mother finally talked to me about it. And she said, I'm sorry for what I let your father do to you, but the truth is I just couldn't face the scandal. She said, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to support you and your brother. I mean, my mother lived on a farm in southeast Missouri. My dad did. She married my dad when she was 17, and somebody told me he'd already beat her up once before they got married. So, you know, you'd think that would give you a clue. But, you know, people sometimes are so desperate for love that they do things that don't even make any sense. Amen? And so I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at anybody, but when I had my own children, it really became hard for me to understand how my mother could not help me in that situation. And To be honest, I actually came to a point where it became harder for me. I think I felt more resentment toward her than I did even toward my dad, because, you know, I knew he was messed up, and I didn't back then when I was a child, but I learned in later years through the Word of God that hurting people hurt people, and I even learned that he had grown up in an incestuous atmosphere in his own family, and so he was acting out some learned behavior. You know, it's easier for you to forgive people if you can understand that something's messed up in them too, you know? So I was abused by my father and abandoned by my mother to the abuse. At school, I pretended to have a normal life. All the pretense. But I felt lonely all the time, and I felt different all the time. Never felt like I fit in. I couldn't make friends with anybody. I was never allowed to participate in an after-school activity. Never went to a ball game of any kind, no kind of a sports activity. Couldn't take part in anything. I had only so many minutes to get home from school because my father always suspected that I might be out doing something with a boy. It's kind of interesting that guilt always breeds suspicion. Had no friends, and of course I was never allowed to date. I never attended a party. My father would not buy me a graduation dress, a class ring, or senior pictures. He thought all those things were stupid and a waste of money. So then I had to try to explain to my classmates why I never got to do the things that they got to do, never came to anything, never went to anything, couldn't get a class ring, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And so that was more pretense and making up more stories. And it was just awful, just absolutely awful. I remember a time when I was really young and they had a Halloween party at school, and my mom didn't know any better, and she didn't have much money anyway, and she bought me this ugly rubber wolf mask. And when all the other little girls showed up, their moms had made them princess costumes, and they were little fairies, and they had all this chiffon, and they all looked so beautiful, and I had my wolf mask. And I remember going and hiding in the corner of the schoolyard because I felt so terrible about the way I looked. It's interesting, the things that you remember. And I can remember being in that corner in that schoolyard just as plain with that old rubber wolf mask on. I think that's kind of the way I felt, like everybody else was a fairy princess and I was the wolf. I became ashamed of myself because of what was being done to me, and I grew up very lonely. He took me with him to bars on Saturday night when I got into my teenage years, where he would get very drunk. And then he'd force me to have sex with him in the back seat of the car. Once a police officer caught him, and I thought, finally, somebody's going to help me. I was so glad. But he and my father talked outside the car for a while, and my dad finally told me, he said, I told him you're my cousin, and he promised to let us go if I would let him have sex with you, so you're going to just have to do it, because otherwise we're going to end up going to jail. Well, thank God the police officer got a call on his radio, and I got out of that one. One time my mother went to the hospital, and I wrote my father a long letter telling him how dirty all this made me feel and how many baths I took a day trying to get rid of the feeling, and took all the courage that I could possibly muster to write him a letter asking him to stop. And he worked nights, so he got home around midnight. And man, he came in my room ranting and raving and so mad, and so I ended up just out of fear apologizing to him and telling him I should have never written the letter. I'm happy to say that God gave me the grace to completely 100% forgive my father. It took some time, but I was able to do it. And I had forgiven him, but I had not totally forgiven him. And I realized that when God asked me several years ago to bring my mom and dad to St. Louis from where they lived in Southeast Missouri and move them close to our home and take care of them until they died. And I thought, you have got to be kidding. I mean, at first I just rebuked it. I said, there is no way this is God. No loving, good God would ask me to do that. Oh, that was so hard for me. My God, that was hard for me to do. But by then, I had enough experience to know when God is dealing with me, and I also know that God never tells us to do anything if it's not going to work out for our good. I want you to remember that. God will never tell you to do anything if it's not going to work out for your good. One Thanksgiving morning, my mother called and said, "Your dad would like you to come over. He wants to talk to you." She said, "I don't know what's wrong with him. He's been crying for about 3 weeks." She said, "I think I know, but you better come over." So Dave and I went over, and he looked at me, and he started crying, and he said, "I just need to tell you how sorry I am for what I did to you." And he said, "I've been wanting to say something for 3 years, but I just wasn't man enough. I didn't have the guts to do it." And my father, by the way, received Christ that day. We baptized him 10 days later. Amen. And he died about 3 years ago, but I mean, that man was changed. I mean, he actually became a sweet old guy. I could actually kiss him on the cheek and not be afraid. And so that was a big black eye for hell. I believe that God puts a seed of greatness in everyone. I believe there's more capabilities inside of you than what you can even begin to imagine. But Satan tries to diminish us. He tries to demean us and belittle us through people mistreating us. But I want you to know today that even though I was being abused and abandoned, and it seemed that nobody was going to help me and that it would never end, right in the midst of that, God had a plan. God had a plan.
Joyce is coming right back to share more of her story. And you know, it's even hard to listen to because you just feel her pain. I remember the night that she was sharing this at the conference, and it was hard for her. She's always been very transparent about what has gone on in her life, but this was detail that she'd really never shared before. She did it because she knew that God wanted her to, for her healing and for your healing, for all of us. And there's power in our story. There's power in sharing what God has done. So coming up, Joyce is going to answer that question: how to get rid of my pain. But first, let's take a look at your story. This comes from social media, and Lori says, "Growing up, my family was in the occult, and I was in bondage to sex trafficking until I was 19. My road has never been easy, but God has blessed me with a rich faith and a large family of my own. I can testify that God is weaving something beautiful out of my life. Thank you for your transparency," she says to Joyce, "keeping me in the Word and helping me to have a habit of hope." Wow, thank you for sharing that with us. And you see how much so many of you are hurting, but do know that God is bigger than everything you have ever dealt with. God is here to help you right now. So tell us how God has helped you or is helping you heal from the pain of child abuse. Let us know so that we can all share in our experiences and our healing together. Use Facebook, Twitter, hashtag EA. And right now, here's Joyce to answer the question, how do I get rid of my pain?
I was sexually, mentally, emotionally, and verbally abused by my father as far back as I can remember until I finally left home at age 18. Abuse means to be misused, used improperly, to be used up, or to be wasted. To use in such a way as to cause harm or damage, or to be treated cruelly. People listening or people here today may have been sexually, emotionally, mentally, physically, or verbally abused, but all types of abuse are damaging. Anytime we're misused or used for a purpose other than which God intended us for, it is damaging. It traumatizes us, and the word trauma means abuse, especially repeated abuse, which traumatizes the individual being abused. They become wounded. They sustain a shock that creates severe and possibly lasting damage to the psychological development of the individual. Now think about that. When a person has been repeatedly mistreated, it changes the way they think. It changes the way they see people. It changes the way they see themselves. It can change the way they might be able to see God. It messes up their emotions. They just begin to react to things and many times have no self-control over how they behave. They're angry. They feel like they're due something because they know that what has happened to them is not right, yet they don't know what to do about it. Many of those people spend their life in bitterness and resentment, using all kinds of worldly things to try to drown their pain, whether it's success or buying things or relationships or some kind of substance abuse. You can only take so much pain and then you have to do something to get rid of it. But God offers us a plan where we don't just cover it up and need another fix every day, but where we can actually become a brand new creature. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. My gosh, what a wonderful scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become brand new. Now, that doesn't mean that that just like happens. But what it means is when you receive Christ, you have a brand new opportunity. You never have to be hopeless again, because God promises that He can restore, renew, lift, heal. And there's such a wonderful promise in the Word of God that I'm going to show you in just a little bit that it should just leave us so excited. Anyone who's been abused can fully recover. Fully recover. Now, there are things that I will never have that, sure, I would have liked to have had. I'll never know what it's like to have a great dad. I'll never know what it's like to be able to sit on my dad's lap, put my arms around his neck, and just get a hug without fear that it's going to turn into something else. I'll never be able to be hurting and ask my dad to go have coffee with me and sit down and just tell him what I'm going through and have him really care. I'll never have that. I'll never really have a mother that really can be what a person needs as a mother. My mom, she's a sweet lady, but she was also so messed up from the abuse in our home and didn't just have the right personality or the courage to know how to do anything about it. And so it's just not the kind of situation, if I'm hurting, I've got a mom and a dad that I can go to and say, gee, Mom, I'd like to come home for dinner and talk about what's going on in my life. I can't do that. But I have something better. Because I have a walk with God and a relationship with God that is the absolute most wonderful and precious thing in the whole world. And the Bible says in Psalm 27:10, even if your mother and father forsake you, I will take you up and adopt you, and I will make you my own child. Amen? In Isaiah 61, verse 7, there's such a wonderful promise of God. And it basically says that for your former shame, God will give you a twofold recompense. And recompense is another word for reward or payback. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion, and therefore in their land, not when they die and go to heaven. Come on now. In their land, they shall possess double what they had to give up. And everlasting joy shall be theirs. And you need to learn that scripture, and that's one of the things you need to keep praying and saying until you see it come to pass in your life. I didn't get from where I was to where I am overnight. and it wasn't without effort and a lot of pain and a million times of wanting to give up. But there are scriptures in the Word of God, promises in the Word of God that you can hold on to during those midnight hours and those dark times and those lonely times that literally have the power to pull you through. And I kept saying to God, you have promised me a double reward. You have promised if we will follow you and do things your way that we will have a double reward in our life. And I am looking for double reward. Amen? And I think it's pleasing to God when we say, and I will not do without it. I will not be denied. You say, well, isn't that a little haughty? No, it's absolutely not. Because the Bible says that the promises of God are for whosoever. And I fit into that category. And so do you.
It is so important to realize that just as Joyce has found it, you too can find the freedom in Christ that she is experiencing today. And she wants to help you along the way of that journey. This is what she's offering today. And this, I believe, is one of the most powerful things that we've offered. It's some of her best work just because it comes out of her life. This is our Beauty for Ashes action plan. God says that He will give you beauty for your ashes. And this is the way that you can really throw yourself into God's Word and start putting all of that into action into your life. This is great for your own personal study. It's great to do with your family, with a small group. This has the CDs of Joyce's teaching, the DVDs of Joyce's teaching on Beauty for Ashes, a personal study guide, and a little journal that can help you. And also with this, we are offering you Joyce's book, Beauty for Ashes. This book has been around a long time because it's helping so many people. Pick this up today and make today be the first day in your walk of healing from the pain that you have of your past and into the beauty that God has for you in the future. Call right now. Next week on Everyday Answers, we'll hope you're with us.
Learning to think the way that God thinks about every situation is the very basic foundational thing that has to take place for any kind of real transformation in our lives.
If you have a question, make sure you ask it. Don't wait, just do it right now. Go on social media, go to Twitter, maybe you're on Facebook, any of those places will work. Use hashtag AskJoyce and make sure that you ask those questions so that we can all find those answers together. You know, the emotional healing process is not easy. There's no way around it. But when you look at the options, it is so worth it. Don't stay stuck in that pain that you're in right now. God's Spirit and His Word are there to help you along the way. We love you. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.